building. And as you can tell, because of our staff is so incredibly ripped, we were stoked for this series. I still don't know why you guys are laughing. But no, as you can see, we are not using the weight equipment. It is merely just stage props. But we are talking about our church body, and this is Kalkaska-wide. So if you didn't want to come to church here today, you didn't want to hear me. If somebody else went to another church, they're still going to hear the same sermon. So we're doing that. But spoiler alert, I'm going to steal one announcement from Tim. You guys got to bear with me, all right? We're not going to have faith training today, all right? So thankfully, I have built in to my sermon a part of like faith training because I'm a youth pastor, and I wanted to bring youth group in here today. So you guys are going to have to bear with me. It's going to be uncomfortable. All right, it's going to be weird. It's going to get you out of your comfort zone. Just a tidbit, but it's going to happen twice, and then I'm going to ask for a volunteer. I know it could get a little weird. That's how youth group goes, but I'm okay with it. All right? I've been made fun of plenty of times in my life. I can be confident in that. But part of following Jesus, part of being the church, part of what we just heard in the song, is being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Pushing yourself out of that edge, because that is what Jesus asked us to do. That is what he asked the disciples to do. And that is what he continually asks us to be. Hands and feet, and that involves sometimes washing dirty, stinky feet, and that's not very fun. But those are those things. So here's your first chance. Just a question to talk about with whoever you're around. And if you see somebody by themselves today, be that person and go have this conversation with them, because come on, guys. If we can't talk about this, they're going to be really easy questions, okay? So the first question I want you guys to discuss while I'm kind of getting ready is, what is your favorite TV show or book? If you're not a TV person, hopefully you're a reader. If not, just say something of your favorite. So go ahead and discuss. You have 1 minute. All right, 15-second warning. Okay, all right, did you all learn something? Find out something new, maybe with even like a family member that was like, I can't believe you said that. You're terrible. Hopefully we're not judging each other. All right, so we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. And when Paul starts to write this, this church is going through a lot of struggles. It's got some pretty interesting topics. Such as, you know, this, first of all, it's kind of interesting that this guy Paul is even writing it. Because he used to be Saul, and Andy talked about that last week, how he was persecuting Christians. And then he came to write a lot of the New Testament, and he wrote letters. But this church was involved in prostitution, idolatry. They had a guy sleeping with his stepmom. They're suing each other over silly things. They're involved in idolatry. And even during communion time, they're getting drunk. And oddly enough, they even have some theology problems, which I know it's crazy because of everything else going on. But in Paul's first chapter, in the first chapter of Corinthians, the first thing he chooses to address, the first thing he covers, I don't get it because it's none of those things. He says this in verse 10 in the first chapter. He says, I appeal to you then, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there would be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So the very thing that Paul addresses first is unity. And I'm sitting there like, Paul, what are you doing? And then I think like, oh yeah, that's right, he's Paul. He wrote like a good chunk of the New Testament. And the last time I checked, David Acker wasn't asked to pen a part of the Bible. I haven't wrote any additions yet. God hasn't asked me to do that. So clearly Paul probably has a little bit more of an idea of what he's doing. And so when I'm surprised, that kind of draws me in. So I start to really study 1 Corinthians more, and I see that there's this theme of unity throughout the entire book. And even then, jump down in verse 17 in the same chapter, it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." That's powerful to me, because this week I didn't have any prep time that I thought I was going to have. Every time I sat down in my chair, I got interrupted. Every time I had this blocked out time, my family needed me more, or somebody else needed me more, and I kept saying, my sermon can wait. Because this is more important, because the body matters. That sermon will come and go, and many of you won't remember the words that I say today. But what we do as a body will stand, and that will be eternal. So when I come up here, I'm not trying to promote myself. When Andy or Tim or I get up here, we're not trying to compete. Plus, I'd feel bad for him because I'm younger and more likable. But, of course, I'm kidding. And a huge benefit for me coming here is actually to have Andy and Tim be mentors to me. And I'm learning so much already in 6 months. But we don't compete. It's not about us. And just as Paul says here, it's about one thing. It's to build the kingdom. It must be about love. It must be about what Jesus did for us. And he goes on in chapter 3 in 1 Corinthians, and in verse 16 he says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." So here he is, he's explaining, and I had to listen to Francis Chan, right, because he's a lot smarter than I am when it comes to breaking down these verses, and he says that "you" is plural. I was like, a couple people from the South here, and I was going to think, if we change that, we reread it, we switch it, you can go ahead and switch it, it kind of, you can make this in like the Southern English Standard Version, right? But it says, do y'all not know that y'all are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in y'all? Jody, you probably should be reading this more than me. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and y'all are that temple. He's saying, you collectively. See, it was really powerful in the Old Testament because they had this one temple. And that is where God dwelt, and it was the holies of holies. That is where, like, he was there, and it was a big deal for Israel. Church, we are not divided. We are not each the temple. We collectively, y'all, are the temple. God's Spirit dwells in us, and when we are together, that is powerful. And that is where we have what the church should be. And when the church is the church, there's nothing else that can come against it. The power that comes from being united, it's important. It's a crucial building block for the church. Paul doesn't just start talking about building up the body in 1 Corinthians 12. He wrote a whole letter about it to a church that was hurting, to a church that had a lot of issues. He said, you know the thing that you do first? Come together. Everything else will fall in line. So second time. There you go. So last time you got to do this morning. What is a project that you took on before that was much bigger? What was a project that you've taken on that was much bigger than you expected it to be? Go ahead. You got 1 minute to discuss. All right, I'll give 15 more seconds. 15 more seconds. All right, so that was good. Right, we kind of laughed a little bit. You could tell that some of us have been there before. I'm the kind of guy that sees a project and I'll dive in first thing and not think about the consequences. My wife will tell you that. We have plenty of unfinished projects around our place usually. And I think of this, I think of my father-in-law. I think of my father-in-law because he's the hardest worker I've ever seen. And I remember when I was dating Sam, I'd come up here to Kalkaska, where my wife was from, and Aaron would be doing something. And like I remember right before Sam had major surgery, he got this place, and it was a huge fixer-upper, and he's like, "This is awesome that you're here, because like you can work 16-hour days for me." And I was like, I dig your daughter, so I guess you got me. Like, I want to earn your respect. So, 16-hour days. Just brutal. I learned almost everything you could do in a house because it needed to happen. And I remember this one time we're standing in the kitchen, and it's like 11:30 at night, and I'm holding the chandelier up, and he's like, Sam's holding the flashlight, and she's got gauze on her face because she just had like major surgery. It's probably good she's not here, because she would have been like, "Great, thanks for telling the whole church that." And I'm just like, and the funny thing is about my father-in-law is like, he's always bleeding on a project, and there's just blood everywhere. And like, I've got blisters from like having to chop wood, and we're holding this thing. And finally, like, you know, I was a young Christian. I was a baby Christian, so I hope you guys can forgive me. But I said some things that you can't say in church, all right, to Aaron, my father-in-law. And he was like, "I know." And so we finally got the chandelier. But it was through this whole thing, I learned a lot. And I also learned how to work. And it was also these big grand ideas that we can have that we can accomplish, but along the way, you're going to get bloody and get blisters. It's going to be hard. It doesn't just become this thing overnight. And I remember when we moved into our first place in the thumb of Michigan in Bad Axe. You got to be careful when you public speak with that. But there's this shed, and it was overgrown by all these weeds, and it was just like, you know, it would look a lot better in our yard if we cleared that out. And I knew I could do it because I had worked with my father-in-law so many times. And it was kind of bittersweet because we clear out this whole thing, and then we found this baby kitten, and we nursed it back to health, and we still, like, we had the cat for a while, and I'm not a cat person, but, you know, it was a good metaphor later in life. So, the reason I told you that, right? The church is this big, romantic, beautiful idea. It's huge. It's going to take a lot of work, and for some reason, God has entrusted us, people who are messed up, to carry it forward. And it's hard, it's uncomfortable, and sometimes we've got to have those conversations that are like, "Oh, I really don't even want to tell the person my favorite book or my favorite TV show." But through that hard work, through getting the bloody blisters, soreness of uncomfortableness, we leave an internal impact instead of just maybe a shed that looks nice. And we hope, not a cat's life for new life, but we hope to see new life come out of that. Just needs this consistent awareness. So when I think about like focusing our body, right? Like, because last week Andy was talking about preparing our body and like focusing our body, it's mental. Any workout that we do, or even with the church, mentally we have to be prepared as well, or we can't succeed. I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys even this morning and say that I want to get back into running. Okay, I got really excited because, now, this is a big deal, all right? That's what I'm going to tell you guys. I ran 1 mile the other day. 1 mile. Yeah. And, hey, all right, and I ran in 6 minutes and 20 seconds, and I was like, I still got something. I thought it was over. I thought my days of, like, everything was done. And so, like, I've been doing a detox this week, which you guys don't need to know, but it does help that, like, I'm preparing my body to get back into running. I'm not just diving in like I normally would, hurting myself, and they're like, "Oh, I can't do it." We have to prepare. Mentally, get ready and say if it's worth it or not. And I would say, I would argue, that it always is. It always is worth it to serve with the body, because the only thing that's going to stand the test of time and eternity. So then before we dive into today's text, I just want to pray. So you guys join me? Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this nicer weather that we're having. And I just thank you for our church. Lord, we know that there are a lot of people here that do that well. They serve your body without hesitation. Lord, I pray that we would continue to grow, that we would continue to find people that would find their part and finally just be fulfilled of the gifting that you've given them. And as we dive into your text, Lord, I pray that would be the thing that would speak loudest this morning. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. So today I think we got to get into a little bit of the blood and the blisters, a little bit of the hard work. Starting in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of a body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any lesser part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And that's just the use of language that's interesting, because it says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And it's interesting because he's been building this case so far in this chapter that we're unique. Yet, we're part of the whole. And it's in our uniqueness that as we complete the wholeness of the body. And it's a tough thing, because sometimes we want to say, like, oh, if I'm not this. And he uses this perfect illustration that says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Or if a foot should say, I'm not an eye, or any of those things. And yet, we are. I could just, this is it. This is your chance. This is your volunteer moment. This is where David even gets nervous. If I could get one volunteer up here to help me, that would be awesome. Jackson Scheller, I saw your hand first. Somehow I knew it would still be a kid this morning. It's okay. All right. All right, man. Can you lift that? Can you lift it? Nice. Okay. All right. Can you carry it over to this rug? Yeah. Set it down. Great job. Is it pretty heavy? No, it's not pretty heavy. All right. It is pretty heavy. All right. Can you pick it up again? Thanks, man. Can you carry it over here with one foot? Only using one foot. Don't hurt yourself. I like your parents a lot. Okay, all right. All right, that's good. Can you move it again with no hands? Don't hurt yourself. Oh, okay. We're going to... Elders are watching, so that's good. All right. Give him a hand. Can't get away with that after your first year. So, thank you. Obviously, that's a simple example, right? If we're not all working together, we can't accomplish the things we need to do. It continues on in verse 21. It says this: the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again to the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that it lacked it, that there may be no division among the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And church, if you get nothing else, remember this in verse 26 today. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We share each other's burdens. And honestly, I don't want to do that life without the church in my life, because I've experienced it. And in our little tiny church on the global scale of the church here at KCC, we have a lot that makes up that. And when looking at that, we have PhDs here. We have people that don't have high school diplomas. That's easy to say because we have kids, right? They haven't got their high school diplomas yet. We have people that are wealthy. We have people that can't make ends meet. We have a bunch of different backgrounds, careers, families. We have those that have served in the military and those that haven't. And with this being Memorial Weekend, I'd love if you've served in the military in the past or even present right now, if you could stand, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And we know we get a celebratory weekend out of that, but it costs a lot. And maybe it not always is a happy Memorial weekend, but a time for us to remember why we get to celebrate and we have a three-day weekend. And you see, we have even, every one of us almost has a different testimony. I love that. We have those that were saved as young children and they can't actually remember back to a time when they didn't love and serve Jesus with all their heart. And it's almost like, well, that's a boring testimony. And I jump in so quickly, I'm like, no. That's the testimony we all pray and want. You know, I'm not praying for Owen, my son, when he gets older, that he's going to have this like big story of how he was addicted to heroin and was on the streets for years, and then he finally found Jesus. That's not what I pray for my son. That's not what we ask for. That's a glorious testimony, but so are the testimonies of those of you that came to Jesus in high school or later in life, or because of a life group, or because of a friend, or even in your 50s and 60s. Those are all beautiful and unique to you and makes us whole. Because we have different experiences and different things like that. And, you know, we have Republicans here, and we even have Democrats here. And I saw some of you are like, what? They're here? Like, they're here. They love God and they're worshiping. I could keep going. But I love that. I love the body. I love the mess. I love the beautiful mess of the church. And in its brokenness, we're made complete because it's when God's made stronger, because it's only in our weakness that He uses us. It was even funny today, like, sitting around the table in the green room before a lot of us that are serving this morning. We're relying on God today, and it's an amazing thing. I hope there's no, like, notes even in here that are from the NBA Finals. Like, well, the Western Conference Finals. I was watching the Warriors last night while doing this, so. It just kind of happened that way today. And, you know, sometimes people don't like their gifts. Like, well, I can't do what David does, so I don't know where I can be used. I say, there's plenty of things that David can't do well that you can do. There's plenty of things that even Andy can't do that you can do. And we need that. Without an elbow, it's not a very cool thing. I had, random, all right, a tangent today. But I always had a kid when I first like started out in youth ministry that would come up and try to lick my elbow. And apparently, like, you can't feel it, and he succeeded a couple times, but that's just creepy, okay? So don't, if that's your gifting, keep it, don't ever get caught, okay? Just don't do it. But if you're an elbow, if you're a pinky, we know that we need that. We know if we break our toes, it's not just our toes that hurt. It's when we walk, we feel it. When we wake up in the middle of the night and we try to turn over in bed, we feel it. And as a church, that's the same way. And it doesn't mean it just stops working, right? It doesn't mean like, oh, if your pinky's done, like, well, I know some of us like, well, chipped a nail today. Probably should just sit down and call it a day. But that's not what the church does. The church continues on. Let me use an illustration that you might get. You ever watch American Idol? And when it was in the glory days of when they really showed the people that would come and audition, and it was bad, and you're kind of wondering, like, why didn't Mama just tell him, don't go for the sake of our family, don't go and be on national TV and sing like that? But he's like, no, this is my gift. I can sing well. And I'd be like, you can sing Celine Dion all day, but it doesn't mean you're good at it. All right. Life is hard. We're made for community. Because everybody needs somebody, and I think it's important that we find our part and do it well. I'm going to make a plug already for the fall for our life groups, and I hope you remember, like, I'm really pushing the slogan, and I hope it catches. So life groups, be ready. Join a life group or die. All right? Join a life group or die. It's really simple. It goes back to the study that this one guy did. A really simple study that if you have people in your life, you extend your life. Simply that. I don't know anybody here that wouldn't say, like, yeah, I'll take another year. I'll take another year. And that's just by having community. Because everybody at some point needs somebody. And when you choose to be vulnerable and share life together and share that maybe work's going hard or your marriage isn't going as well as you thought it would or different things just have fallen apart, there's an intimacy there. When you lean across the breakfast table and you say, hey, things aren't going well. You take that first step, you kind of notice sometimes then walls are lowered. People shared that back. Sometimes it just takes that first thing to say, like, you know, I'm not perfect. Things aren't going well. I need help. Because it doesn't, you know, you'll agree, it doesn't take much for one thing in your life to get knocked over, for it not go the way that you want it to, or you get sidetracked, or you start hanging out with the wrong crowd again, or you start doing the wrong things again, or maybe you just start clicking the wrong thing again. And it's kind of like that small, simple song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Friends, church, we need to be the church for each other. Friends need to become family. And that's what the church needs to be. It needs to be an irresistible body that says, I can't be not a part of that. Because they found this part and they found this fulfillment that I never could understand. I remember early on, this conversation I had with a mom of one of my students in youth ministry. And she's like, well, what kind of people come to your youth group? What kind of people go on your trips and events? And I was so proud. I said, you know, we have foster kids, we have outcasts, loners, skaters. We still have football players and dancers and everything in between. And she said, that sounds more like an insane asylum than anything else. And I kind of laughed and I was like, okay, that's a weird. Then I walked away thinking, what a compliment. She couldn't have paid a better one. So ultimately, we're gifted by God, and we don't get to choose that. Most of the time, I struggle with being shy and socially awkward, so I find it hilarious that I get on stage. No matter what your talent is or where it is, some of us have unbelievable strengths, and we also have unbelievable weaknesses. But God just wants to use those things to point the glory to Him. Paul closes the chapter with these last rhetorical questions. It says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of hearing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. No. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Church, no one gets all the gifts. There isn't a super powered up Christian that's going to come to swoop in and save the day. Church, it's us. And I would say this to those of you that aren't believers in Jesus Christ yet. Let me draw it up like this for you. Say you work 30, 50 years as an administrator somewhere or pouring into a career. Maybe they give you a watch or a card at the end of those years or a cheap cake from the local grocery store. But then it's just plug and play. They find somebody to replace you and the world keeps moving. Your gifts and abilities will be recognized for some time and remembered, but that's it. It's only in the body of Christ that your gifts are fully realized and have an eternal impact far longer than this world will last. I think we've been called to be the church and not just getting simple attendance numbers here on Sundays either. And that means getting out of these chairs and going into those world and having a conversation that you find a way like, hey, what's the hardest project you ever worked on? Well, let me tell you about this project I'm doing. And it's going to take everybody. So my question for you is, are you doing that? If that's you today and you don't want to power through this life and just have it end, I'm going to be at the cross while we sing this last song and I'd love to talk to you. Because, church, I haven't forgotten about our five that we started with way back in January that we were supposed to be praying for this year. If you know what that is, I pray that you take that to heart and continue to pray for them if you haven't picked it up. If you don't, I'd love to talk to you about finding those five people. Church, I want our body to exist and be strong because it is a project that will get bloody and blistered, but it's so worth it. You guys pray with me? Father God, just I thank you for our time together. I pray that you would put us where you need us to be, and Lord, it was through our giftings that you gave us that you would be made strong and you would receive the glory. Lord, that we wouldn't get sidetracked and be all Bible knowledge that we just sit on in a treasure chest but we never open. Lord, you would just bust that open. We wouldn't be hoarders of the joy and the hope that you want to give us and the peace that comes from that, and that we would go into a broken world and share that because they're hurting. They're in desperate need for those things. Lord, I pray that you would be the ultimate authority, and I pray that you would bring a great deal of humility in us all. I pray that you would help us identify where we are gifted and where we might encourage and strengthen the church with those gifts that you've put into us for your glory, for your beautiful name, forever and ever. Amen.